You would not believe what I have been through this past week. Actually, it started much further back than that, but this past week has been unbelievable. Oh, I'm sorry. I should introduce myself, for although many of you know who I am, I see a few who may not know me. My name is Mary Magdalene, and I have been here in Jerusalem for some time. Now, where was I? Oh yes, how I got to telling this story. My journey started about 3 years ago. I was a wealthy woman, but I was miserable. Even though I had lots of resources, I was also plagued with demons, 7 of them. It was horrible, and I tried everything known to modern man to rid myself of these demons. My demons persisted, and my life was not worth living. I had almost given up, but then everything changed. Absolutely everything. I heard of a great healer, Jesus of Nazareth, and I went to him and I was healed. Healed by Jesus of Nazareth. He just reached out, touched me, and said, "You are healed." I couldn't believe it. My whole life changed. Suddenly it was worth living again. When I tried to repay him, he smiled and walked away, not wanting any reward. But I knew I had to do something, and then it came to me. Jesus didn't want any personal reward, but I was able to help his ministry. I began to travel with him and others using my connections to find them lodgings and places to preach in the cities, towns, and villages that he visited. My business, remember, I am a wealthy woman, has given me contacts all over the modern world, and I used every contact I had. Do you think I'm shameful, using my influence that way? It was not for me. I was just trying to make Jesus' journey a little more comfortable. I took some of the worry off his shoulders. He knew that I would take care of the everyday details of food and lodgings so that he could concentrate on the people and minister to them, teaching the truths and healing. And now, with what has happened, I'm pleased that I could make his travels easier. He's had enough to deal with, all those people wanting to see him. But I should get back to the point and tell you about what has been happening. You won't believe it. We had so much hope and joy coming here to Jerusalem. I remember how the crowds cheered. They waved branches and laid clothing down in front of Jesus riding on the donkey. Jesus smiled at the children and waved. We were filled with hope and joy at his coming to the city. We didn't believe what he had told us, that he was to die. How could we? How could anyone act the way he did, knowing that he was riding to his death? We put it out of our minds and celebrated with the crowds, cheering and laughing and dancing as we entered the city. Peter even did a jig with one of the children. I'm not kidding. A jig. That's how happy we were. It seems so long ago now. We stayed in different homes around the city, courtesy of some people I knew. Jesus went around Jerusalem teaching and drawing crowds wherever he went. It was a magical time. Oh, how things change. There was a tension in the city, not only in the city, among the followers of Jesus as well. We knew that the chief priests and the Pharisees were watching Jesus closely, and we also heard that they had a special meeting of the council about him. Everyone but Jesus were looking over their shoulders, wondering if they were being watched. It was very upsetting. And then the worst happened. The Jewish police arrested Jesus, arrested him in the middle of the night. They dragged him from the Garden of Gethsemane where he was praying. I couldn't understand that. They could have arrested him any time. Jesus certainly wasn't hiding anywhere. I guess they were afraid of the crowds that were always gathered around him. But to sneak around in the garden in the middle of the night to arrest him, that just wasn't right, as far as I'm concerned. We were all frantic with worry. It didn't look good. None of us got any sleep. And then the word came. Jesus had been condemned to die, to be crucified. That was for criminals and enemies of the Romans, not for someone like Jesus. How could this have happened? What is wrong with the world nowadays? I was in shock. I could not believe that this was happening. Many of Jesus' followers went into hiding when they heard the news, afraid of what would be done to them. I wasn't going into hiding. They could do what they wanted to me. It was Jesus who had made my life worth living by healing me of the demons. What the Romans and council could do to me meant nothing. I was not going to run away. If they were going to crucify him then, I was going to be there. I had to see it. I was not going to leave him alone or abandoned. I know how that feels, to be avoided when things got tough. I was not going to abandon the one who made my life worth living, the one who did not abandon me to my demons, but was there for me and healed me. I would be there for him until the end. There were a couple of us there at the cross, There was Jesus' mother and his aunt, then Mary, the wife of Clopas, and me. It was so painful to see the condition he was in, the pain and suffering he had to undergo. They tell me that it wasn't unusual for some criminals to be beaten severely before they were crucified, but he was not a criminal. He was not an enemy of Rome or of the church. He was the Messiah. He taught people to love, and to love everyone, no matter what. He was extraordinary. You would not believe it. I had trouble believing it, and I was there. Jesus was hanging on the cross and looks down at the people beneath the cross, those taunting him, and says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they are doing." It is beyond belief. He asked God to forgive them. Not to punish them, but to forgive them. Then I stood there and watched him die. There was nothing I could do. I felt so helpless and so angry. Everything Jesus did for me and all I could do was stand there and watch while he died. Joseph, do you know him? He is from Arimathea. A secret follower of Jesus, he kept his belief a secret because of his position on the council. Anyway, he was there, and when Jesus died, he offered the use of a nearby unused tomb. We followed as they took Jesus to the tomb and laid him in it. We did what he could with the body to prepare it, but time was short. So we noted where the tomb was and what spices were needed to finish the preparation. Watched the men seal the tomb with a large round boulder and went back to where we were staying to observe the Sabbath. That was the worst Sabbath I have ever endured. All I wanted to do was to return to the tomb and give Jesus a proper burial. It was bad enough that he was killed, especially that way. But to not be able to give him a proper burial was devastating. I don't think I stopped crying. I could hardly wait for dawn. In fact, dawn had barely broken and we, the women, were running back to the tomb to finish the job that had been started. I'm not sure how we thought we were going to move the boulder that took 6 men to move into place. None of us had thought of that before we left, or we would have woken some of the men to come with us. But as it was, we were alone. I couldn't believe my eyes when we rounded the corner and saw the stone moved away from the tomb. So many thoughts ran through my head. First, I was angry, thinking that the men had gotten up early and came to move the boulder without telling us. Then, I was scared that the Romans or the council had done this. What other indignity they planned to heap on Jesus? Wasn't his death enough? I went in the tomb and it was empty. Empty. Where was Jesus? Then I saw them, all in white, so white it hurt my eyes, so I bowed my head. They asked us, why were we looking for the living among the dead? At first I did not know what they were talking about. Looking for the living? I wasn't looking for the living, I was looking for Jesus, and I had watched him die. They continued, saying, he is not here, but has risen. Risen where? Where is he? Then I remembered what Jesus had told us, that on the third day he would rise, and it had been 3 days. Was it possible? Had he done what he said? And then I knew. He had risen. I ran to tell the apostles who were back at our lodgings, mourning Jesus' death. I ran as fast as I could and burst in shouting, he is risen! They must have thought I was a crazy woman. Of course, they didn't believe me and had to see for themselves. So Peter ran back to the tomb and confirmed what I had told them, that Jesus had risen. And that is what brings me here today, to tell you that you can stop your mourning for the death of Jesus. Yes, he did die on the cross, but after 3 days, he rose again. I'm not sure what this means for our future, but it does mean that we can stop our mourning and begin to rejoice. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.